proclamation in response to the governor's proclamation 2028, the Planning Commission will hold all of their regular and special meetings via Zoom video until further notice. And then we evidently got on here either with the link or by dialing in. So I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. And as I mentioned, a few people that were on here a little bit early, my internet's a little sketchy. And so I just left my picture up there instead of me, but I am here. But at any time that it gets garbled or messed up, let me know. And I will turn it over to someone else so that you can understand what's going on. So are there any comments about the minutes?
The only comment I have is that I think just they need to change the template. It doesn't matter, but it says moton instead of motion. That's all. Just as a reference, just so that clarity, just change that heading from moton to motion. Makes it look a little bit more professional. Thank you.
One thing that that I did notice that on Appendix B, I mentioned it to Catherine, I think it says that the motion was to continue the application for the hearing that we had, and it really should say continue the hearing. That's clear toward the end. So other than that, does anyone have any comments?
Yeah, Doug, didn't we keep the public comment period open too, since the public time period was still open, I had thought as well?
The only public comment that we had referring to was the meeting itself, and that was closed, and that's when we had the discussion. And so I'll reopen it again when we continue the hearing here, just a minute.
All right, thank you.
So anything else? Hearing nothing, then the minutes are approved. So we have under our public comment period, is there anyone on here that is part of the general public that would like to make a comment limited to 2 minutes?
This is Ryan Walker. I'd like to comment on the critical area regulations to be adopted for the SMP.
Okay. So that is on the agenda.
Okay.
And so I'll go ahead and open a public comment during that agenda.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
So hearing no one else, then let's move to old business. And so I will reopen the hearing. ZTA 21-587, a critical area, Appendix B. Is there any staff comments on it, Catherine?
Good evening, commissioners. Yes, I do have a brief introduction just to kind of revisit what we talked about last month. So I'm just going to take a moment to share my screen. All right, so hopefully you can all see that. So yes, last month, the Planning Commission voted to continue the public hearing of this item to tonight. And as a recap, the county and ecology recently completed the SMP periodic review in September. And the update to Appendix B critical areas did not get included as intended, and the appendix needs to be made consistent with those recently adopted critical area ordinances. We also talked last month about shoreline buffers, that they're different than critical area setbacks. However, when a shoreline contains something like a wetland, the critical areas applies and it may overlap with those buffers. This is just a kind of a generalized graphic just to give you an idea of how that works. Showing a shoreline buffer and also showing an area where there's a wetland and how those would overlap. So staff is recommending approval of the amendments to Appendix B There were a couple things that I would ask that you would include, consider to include in your motion, so that these things come from guidance that we have from ecology about incorporating critical areas into SMPs. And one would be to actually say that we're going to incorporate the specific dated edition of those critical areas ordinances. And for consistency, that the administration, the administration within the adopted SMP as it stands today would remain for things like how we do variances or appeals. Those would prevail over any processes within the critical areas. And I think those two things from the guidance we have from ecology would be important going forward. So that's all staff has for you today. And I would appreciate hearing some of the public comment. And just as a, I would just like to mention that we have not received any written comments from the public on this item. Just that's why nothing more was sent to you. Thank you.
Okay, and as you remember, one of the concerns that was expressed was the fact that the time period for the critic for the public comment had not run out yet. So, is there any questions then from the board before we open for public comment? Okay, I see no questions. Go ahead.
This is Vicki. I have a question. Why does it say on our minute, our meeting agenda, to consider continuance to April 27th?
Catherine?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, that was simply because I wasn't sure if staff would be ready for today's meeting, but we are ready to go if you are.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, I don't see anyone else with a hand or waving at me. So Ryan, I'll open it for public comment. You indicated you had a comment.
Thank you, Commissioner England. I have a couple comments on the appendix to be adopted into the master program that it needs a few changes to be adopted into the master program because it has some inconsistencies in there that just don't, it doesn't transfer in to the master program, and it will result in a significant increase in the buffers on small tributaries that are coming into shoreline waters that I think at a minimum, the Planning Commission needs to be aware of that and the implications and what they'll be voting on. I'm not sure what you can get up on your screen, but just have two things I'll address here tonight. If you look at section 1177.020, where it talks about the applicability, if you just adopt this straight in, you're going to be adopting a code that includes the phrase that says this: the provisions of this chapter shall not apply to lands which are subject to the provisions of the Shoreline Master Program. So right away, it just becomes inconsistent with itself because you're adopting it into the master program, and then within the code it says it doesn't apply. So that's just it's a small housekeeping item, but it's an example of why this code needs a couple tweaks before just simply adopting it in. The other item to address, which I think is the really big deal that I want everyone to be aware of in the decision-making, is that the current critical areas in the master program, the buffers for non-SMA waters, so these are small streams, type F, type NS, type NP, those share the same buffer as the major water bodies. So take, for example, a section of the Columbia River that is in the urban shoreline environment. It has a 50-foot buffer. Current SMP states that shoreline buffers for streams and their associated shoreline rivers can be found in table 3.8A of the SMP. I would encourage you to to take that language and keep that in there. The problem with just adopting the zoning critical areas in is that you bring in table 11.780403B, which has different buffers for these small non-shoreline streams. So in my example, where you have a Columbia River urban shoreline environment, a stream flowing into the Columbia River currently has a 50-foot buffer. If this is adopted straight across, if that is the type F stream, that will jump up to 150 feet. So you're talking about, you know, increasing a buffer of a small stream by 100 feet, whereas the Columbia River itself, it's a 50-foot buffer. So you have this incompatibility. And when we start looking at this on specific properties, it has a huge impact with how much more of the property it takes up. So in what I would recommend would be to slightly modify the appendix to be adopted. You know, first off, just the applicability section I mentioned, where it says it doesn't apply to the master program. I think you just have to take that out because it doesn't make sense. Second change, I would recommend modifying 1178040 to remove the table that lists independent buffers for type F, type NS, type NP waters, and keep the current section of the SMP critical area regulations, the section 6.5.7.C. It states shoreline buffers for streams can be found in table 3.8A of the SMP. And if you were to make those minor changes there, I think you end up with a much more compatible document and are not resulting in large increases on small water bodies in proportion to the larger water body they pour into. So I'd be glad to answer any questions anyone has, but that's my comment for this evening. Thanks.
So, Catherine, a procedural comment, or Chris, either one. Can those two minor changes be done within a motion, or does that dictate that we do have to put this off, which I would rather not do? I'd rather get it off your plate. Or do we have to go through another month then and in order to change those things?
Mr. Chairman and commissioners, if I may, it was a little difficult for me to follow what Ryan was describing, and I would really appreciate receiving some written comments so that I could actually mark up a document for you. And you would have the opportunity to look at it ahead of time and be able to follow what's being described. And then staff would be able to provide feedback on how that might work or might not work. So okay. Unfortunately, like I said, it would be difficult for us to respond to that because I wasn't able to visualize everything he was talking about.
Okay, so let's then, is there any other public comment?
I have one question though, Doug. What is the date on the public comment termination date?
That was the day after we met last time, wasn't it, Catherine?
Yes.
The public comment?
Mr. Chairman and commissioners, we had a public comment period, a 30-day period, that we offered during the time the application that we had initiated that out there. But the public is always welcome to provide written comments before your hearing and at your hearing, and they'll have the opportunity to provide comments either verbally or in writing for the eventual Board of County Commission public hearing.
I see. Okay, so I guess if we were to basically say to Ryan, well, submit this by writing, it's not going to terminate. the public comment period will not terminate, and then he will still, his comment will still be valid, right?
Well, what I think so, and what it will do then is allow staff apparently to be able to give us their opinion on what it actually means.
Yeah, I it's very detailed. Ryan, why couldn't you provide written comment before this meeting?
Well, I was not aware of this adoption or this the public notice period. Previously, a email listserv has been used for the SMP update, and I sat on the advisory committee, and apparently that's not in use anymore. So unless you go to the county website and search the planning commission agenda, I just was not aware of it until it was too late to meet that comment, that comment period.
Okay, is there any other public that would like to comment? Yeah, we'll close the public comment period and ask the commissioners what you would like to do then. Sounds like staff is requesting that we follow more closely the agenda and consider it a continuance, or we can either accept or we can accept it right now. So well, what would Vicky. You prefer? Vicki, go ahead.
I feel very comfortable with what Catherine has requested. In fact, I would have hoped that one of us would have requested the same, because it sounds good, but we need to know for sure what we're doing on behalf of the public, and to be able to see it on the document and see how it impacts things, I think it's the best route we can take. So I concur with Catherine.
Okay, Ryan, did I get the numbers right? Can you give us the numbers again as part 1177 and 1178?
1177.020 and 1178.040.3B are the sections I'm recommending just minor changes on. And I will also, there's a lot of positive things about this change. I want to point that out also, that it I think will be much better for everyone in the long run, staff, property owners, just a few minor changes to bring the documents into alignment with each other will end with a better product in the end.
Ryan, okay. Ryan, this is Joel. Would you send that information directly to staff so they have it in writing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put together a written comment and get that to them. Yes.
Thank you.
Just point of order, Doug. There's some hands raised. I think.
Sorry, Cherie.
I have a question for Ryan. You mentioned, for example, a type F stream as a critical area, and that the setback was larger than that in the SMP. I believe that the SMP restricts its area to streams of an annual flow of 20 cubic feet per second. How does this, does your comment still apply?
Yeah, it does. So that's what we have in the current SMP. This is getting a little confusing. So there's the zoning critical area regulations. That's what we're talking about bringing in tonight. Currently, the SMP has a standalone critical area section that does impose buffers for non-shoreline water bodies. So non-shoreline is the under 20 CFS. So while they would not be considered shoreline water bodies, they're still regulated under the master program. So this amendment is just changing the regulations that apply. This was one, it came from a slight change in GMA back in about 2010 that says that critical areas are regulated under the SMP in shoreline jurisdiction, and outside of shoreline jurisdiction, they're regulated under your more traditional critical area regulation, which is in the zoning code. And there's overlap in there. The graphic that was put up before, there are examples where you're again, it gets complicated. You have the wetland example where the jurisdiction of the wetland goes beyond the 200-foot shoreline jurisdiction, but then the buffer comes from the critical area regulation. So you have the wetland itself has two sets of regulations on it, but the buffer outside of shoreline jurisdiction has one set. So this, again, this will bring things into more alignment. There's some minor differences in the wetland buffers, but they're so minor, they're hard to even talk about because you start talking about functional scores of wetlands and a habitat score of 6 versus 7, and it changes the buffer very minorly. And they fall both ways. So it's going to lead to more consistency, but the small water bodies, the Fs and the Ns, there's a big difference there from what's in the SMP right now.
Thank you.
Okay, Ed, is your hand up?
Yeah, it is. Just to clarify, so we saw the union of both essential bodies for what would be considered to be a setback. And it was going to take the greater of the two, the CAO or the SMP, whichever one is greater. Are you asking that in all cases that the number be the lower of the two?
No, I think they should be consistent. You shouldn't have separate ones, which is I'm trying to think how to explain it. I have diagrams. It would be easier to explain this, but what I'm not saying always take the lower one. It's let's make them consistent in the way it is being done under the current SMP. Then they line up with the buffer for the actual shoreline water body. So again, we don't end up with the Wenatchee River having a much smaller buffer than say an unnamed creek flowing into it, which is what drawing this straight in would end up resulting in. And I have some real world examples, even properties I'm working on right now, where this takes you've got the larger water body, a small creek comes in perpendicular to it. When you have a much larger buffer, it knocks out the entire buildable area. Versus you have the same buffer for Wenatchee River and whatever the smaller creek is named, then it's more consistent across the property.
So we still have to submit this as an appendix. And so, the CAO to the SMP. And so I guess what I'm saying is, or one other question, is there situations that you saw where sometimes we have to change the SMP and sometimes we have to change the CAO?
No, I would not envision any change needed to the SMP. This would be for the appendix being adopted into the SMP, these minor changes for consistency, just because it was written for a somewhat different reason. Just like for example, my first comment on the applicability, where you wouldn't want to adopt in a paragraph that says it doesn't apply to the SMP. So you it's a little housekeeping item, but it's just that the point is these little things they can be a big deal.
No, I understand, especially in litigation where the interpretation, being left up to the interpreter, could be messy. So thank you for coming up, Brian.
Welcome.
So I see no more hands up, and I don't see anyone from the public that wants to comment. I would entertain a motion then. What way do you want to go? It sounds, I'm getting the impression from most people that you prefer to for a continuance to April 27th.
I move that we have a continuance on this to April 27th.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Joel seconded it. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Why are we moving it to April instead of March?
I think that was Catherine's suggestion, wasn't it, Catherine? You're muted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Yes, it would be helpful for staff if you could pick the April date.
Okay,
any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? I see or hear no one opposed. So this hearing now is continued until the April 27th, 2022 meeting. Okay, under new business, we have a public hearing, CPA 22-027, the text amendment, and that considers capital improvements. Catherine, do we have a staff report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'll just take a moment here to share my screen again.
While she's doing that, we'd like to welcome Kathy Mulhall with us, since she's the one that will be answering probably some of your questions.
All right, can everyone see my screen okay?
Yeah. I think so, yeah, all nodding.
All right, so as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, this is a public hearing for a comprehensive plan text amendment, and it is a public hearing item. So this amendment will, which is initiated by Chelan County, will update the six-year capital improvements plan. And as you know, our comprehensive plan is the long-term vision for future growth and development. And in that comprehensive plan, we have a capital facilities element. And this is a mandatory element, and it estimates capital facility needs for the next 20 years. So the capital, the public capital projects are often multi-year projects, and they involve a significant amount of investment. So the CIP list lists those capital expenditures, and it identifies the source of funding. And we use the CIP to promote efficiency in prioritizing our capital investments over this longer time period. And in your packet, you do have a copy of the CIP. Also in your staff report, it goes through the review criteria for making text amendments. And the five of them are listed here. And at this point, as you mentioned, Kathy Mulhall, the county's administrator, she's the one who has reviewed all the projects and determined the project costs can be covered through the various funding sources noted in the CIP. And she is on hand to offer some more background if you like.
Okay, if Catherine's through, then Kathy, would you like to say something ahead of time, or do you want to just respond to questions?
Given that we really don't have many changes in the plan overall, a lot of it is really with Cadmere Dryden Airport. They've gone through a planning phase out of the airport, so they've updated their plan. Really, we were just removing projects that have completed, and then we moved some of the projects that didn't complete it in their correct timeline. We moved them over a year or two. That I think is probably best just to open it up for questions in regards to the plan.
So Ed, you had a question earlier, didn't you? Go ahead.
I did. I emailed some questions. Did you get those, Kathy?
I emailed back an answer.
Oh, I did not. Oh, okay, there it is. Okay, good. Let me read these and I'll put my hand down. Thank you. But the question I guess everybody should probably know is just wanted to know, does it allow public access? Is yes. is the airport used for emergency purposes? And then Kashmir Dryden has been used in the past for emergency purposes, has not been used in that capacity for many years. The hangar updates, who owns the hangars? There's no budget request for the hangar updates. I do see hangar upgrades on there. Transient parking, hangar site development.
Yeah, so that's actually developing a site to create new leases for additional hangars to be built. Okay. But it would be that we would be offering leases of the land, not that we're going to spend any money on building hangars.
Okay.
Those are all privately built and privately owned.
Okay. And then there is one last one I think I had that maybe was missed. There's a private business on there called Classic Airport Services. How do they interact with the county, and will the budget be used? Will this budget to upgrade their hangars and facilities?
No. There's actually several businesses on the airport that have been around for many years. But these are all, again, they're privately owned hangars, and they are allowed to have business on the airport, and which is good for the sort of the economic development of the airport itself. But all work in and on the hangars is done by the hangar owners, not by the airport.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Vicki, you have your hand up.
Yeah. Actually, I had my hand up from the very beginning. Anything that had money in it previously, if the money is taken out, as an example, the airport relocate entrance and access gate, that means it's been completed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I've got several that are completed. Okay, I'm going back up to the use of funds under facilities department. There was originally funding for a detox facilities and safety, which was deleted from that section. And I'm guessing under the law and justice section, that is where it's been transferred, because there's been a substantial amount added under justice facilities improvements and rehab. Is that correct?
That is not correct. So we are actually making a change in what the thoughts are about the detox facility. Is a county owned facility, but it's leased out to the Center for Drug and Alcohol Treatment. They lease a county building. Okay. And so those improvements will either be done by the center themselves, or we are also looking at options to relocate them. So they have been removed from this list because they're not going to be using county funds to do those upgrades.
Oh, okay. And I thought originally that would have something to do with the long-range plans of dealing with, as an example, the homeless situation of having treatment facility, education for employment, and then release out into the public. And this probably had nothing to do with that big picture idea, correct?
That is correct. That's not entering into this.
So Vicki, the example that you gave, that work has been completed. Sometimes things are removed when they're no longer considered a priority by the commissioners also.
Okay.
They can be removed for a number of reasons. And one of the requirements, I think, Kathy can correct me, but almost every grant, the first thing they ask you is it is on your capital improvement program. And so there's always scrambling around to make sure. Yeah. David, you had your hand up?
You're muted. Yeah, I just had a quick question. And so I actually, just regarding the comment earlier about the new leases or potentially new development around airport hangars, my understanding in talking to the previous airport manager is that the Chelan County Airport is constrained by water permits and or water access. Is that still the case?
I think that you're talking about the Chelan Airport, not the Kashmir Dryden Airport. The Chelan Airport is not the airport that we're discussing. the Chelan is not the Chelan County, but the Chelan, the city of Chelan, and the port have an airport up in Chelan that has nothing to do with Chelan County. So this is,
thank you.
Cashmere Dryden is the only airport that's owned by Chelan County.
Thank you for clarifying.
Oh, sure.
And believe me, we tried to convince the port that they need to take this one too, and they very pointedly say no.
Yeah.
Thanks for the context.
So is there anyone else that have any questions for either Kathy or staff?
This is Cherie Warren. I have two questions for Kathy. The first question is how might we expect this CIP to align with the 2022 budget capital elements?
Well, some align pretty well. There are some things that aren't, like the Cashmere Dryden Airport. I hate to say, sometimes these are more in the planning, a little bit pie in the sky sometimes, that they can't quite get things put together as far as getting it through the FAA. And so those don't regularly fit into they don't actually align that in their budget. So those you won't see at all. But if you scroll down to things like the commissioner's use plans and uses of funds, all of our debt service is part of our regular budgeting process and are budgeted through the county. You'll see that the fairgrounds should have their items budgeted. If not, we will put in an emergency budget appropriation should it not have been captured in their budget, which is also similar to, you know, the facilities department changes. You'll see that in our REIT budgets that we do, the real estate excise tax budget. All of those upgrades should be listed, or they're just in our regular budget, we budget for them as a lump sum. So it's very hard to discern out the projects when you see, oh, here's our real estate excise tax budget and we're going to spend $2.6 million. And it doesn't tell you how. The how is in this plan.
That's helpful. One of the differences I noticed was in the monetary amount of the Wenatchee River County Park. Is that expected?
So the Wenatchee River County Park, this would be something in the, it is not in the Wenatchee River County Parks budget. It's in the REIT, the real estate excise tax budget, for expenses. We actually are trying to see if we can get a grant to cover about half of this cost, and that has come up recently. But this is it's a really interesting project in that we've had a migrant camp, farm worker camp out at the Wenatchee River County Park now since 2000. So we're 22 years in to having this out there. We originally got federal funds to build the Wenatchee River County Park as an RV park. And when we took out a section of that RV park to make the migrant housing camp, the federal government said, hey, we made a conversion that might be considered an illegal conversion. And so in order to fix that conversion, we actually need to expand the footprint of the park. And so this capital improvement for park expansion is to purchase land from the DOT that is next to the park, so we can then expand the park so we don't convert a federally funded project. So a little history lesson there. Doug will remember that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's helpful. So a separate topic, but my other question is, I'm wondering how the CIP might align with the public works capital projects. For example, I noticed on the public works page, they list Knowles Road, and I didn't see it on the CIP.
I can't specifically answer that one as far as where Knowles Road is in regards to this the CIP, they should be updating this to equal what is, they actually update the plan to, it should match their 6-year plan. And so I'm not sure if something has changed in the time that, or they haven't updated the one on the website to what the update is here.
Okay, thank you.
I just have one last question. I know that you mentioned that there are fees, I guess, involved on some of the items that are on the airport. I know that the county itself is in this $1 million budget for only $35,000. How much do they get over this 5 years in fees from the airport, the county?
Well, the county actually, we don't, we treat the airport as it's a separate fund. So we have it, we do all their accounting for the airport separately from all other county budgets. So they do charge fees. We charge fees. If you are a pilot that doesn't have a plane there, but lands there, there's a fee for landing at the airport. There's a fee for tying down your plane overnight at the airport. And those get paid to the airport fund and then gets used for only airport purposes. So the county itself, the general fund, doesn't gain anything from the airport and those fees. There's really no county dollars in the airport. They don't take money out of the general fund at all. They don't get tax dollars at all. They get their leaseholds that are paid to them for the land leases at the airport. We have two hangars out there that are county-owned hangars that we get rental fees from. And then they levy for themselves a maintenance and operations levy to just the hangar owners for if they are doing tree removal or just upgrades on, or they need snow removal or mowing and that type of thing. So they figure out what their costs are going to be and they create a levy an M&O levy against all the hangars and all those hangar owners then pay that in. The major things that happen out of the airport are really all paid for through grants and the FAA. The FAA has an entitlement program and we're entitled to $150,000 a year through the FAA Small Airports Program. And if we don't spend the $150,000 in 1 year, we get to carry it over. And you can carry it over till you have $600,000 set. And after that, you lose the money. We currently have the full $600,000 available to us. And when we don't get projects done, we actually will let go of some of our entitlement dollars to other small airports that have projects that are sort of shovel ready if we're not ready.
That's great information. Thank you, Kathy.
Sure.
Yeah, I see no other hands up. Are there any other questions for staff? Seeing and hearing none, I will open it for public comment. And it doesn't look like we have any public added. I'll wait a second if there's someone that does want to come on. I see nothing, so let's go ahead then, and I will entertain a motion. Oh, first of all, let me go ahead and close the hearing. Close public comment and close the hearing. And I will entertain a motion then to approve the text amendment.
This is Vicki. I move to recommend approval of the comprehensive plan amendment to update the 6-year capital improvement plan for years 2022 to 2027, given file number CPA22-027. Based upon the findings of fact and conclusions of law contained within the February 23rd, 2022 staff report.
This is Ryan and I second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Vicki and a second by Ryan. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? I see and hear no one opposed, so it's approved. And Kathy, one thing I noticed at one of your meetings, would you, with other county officials, would you check and see if there's a different application form? it's kind of interesting. You had to go through this form. You had to write not applicable and crossed out most of the pages. It doesn't really fit. And Catherine said there isn't, this is the standard form. And I'm just wondering, does every county just use their standard form, or is there some other form that we can legally use so you don't have to go through that process?
Good question. I will ask my fellow county administrators at our next meeting, and we meet actually right now every other week. So I will ask that question.
Okay.
If we had followed that form, there was one section where it said give detailed description of the changes you were making. I thought that would have been pretty cumbersome. Anyway, I was just trying to be funny. That's what I noticed.
Okay. So I went ahead and thinking we were going to be through just a little bit early, I asked Chris if he could go ahead and give us an idea of how the some figures on the short-term rentals, that program that went through this process before I was on. Chris, do you have those numbers available?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good evening, commissioners. The chairman did request an update. Timing was good because I did present an update to the Board of County Commissioners on Tuesday. So we have the fresh data as of Tuesday of this week. So currently we have issued 606 provisional permits for the non-conforming existing STRs. We still have 35 existing STR permits remaining to be processed. So that's a total of 641 existing permits that we received. Then we open the enrollment for new applications. Currently we have 182 new STR permit applications to be reviewed. So that's a pretty good number. We're looking at about 823 total so far, which will run to July, through July.
How is the code compliance group working out on that? They stayed busy, or are they still kind of standing, waiting?
Well, still in a holding pattern because these are provisionally approved. What we do is review them for the provisionally approved criteria. If they meet that, then they get the permit and they allow to remain operating. Then we'll do a deeper dive just to make sure everything's in order. They'll receive their fire safety inspection, and then they'll receive their permanent permit. At that point in time, we did recruit the recruitment for a short-term rental code enforcement liaison position, kind of an advanced permit tech position. That recruitment was posted last week. We have a couple of qualified candidates, so hopefully we're going to get that person on board and trained up. We anticipate that we'll start cross-referencing the legal short-term rentals, the ones that get provisional and permanent permits, against the short-term rentals that we know are existing that are hiding and remaining under the radar. And then we'll start the code enforcement action at that point. So yes, that is in a holding pattern. The bad news was that I did receive, I was copied on code enforcement officer Tim Lycan. He resigned officially. I believe his last day will be March 4th. So we'll be down one code enforcement officer, but hopefully we'll get that position recruited by the time we anticipate we're gonna have to start knocking on doors, probably right around the June, July timeframe.
Okay, I appreciate that, Chris. Any questions for Chris? I have a couple of legal questions, but I can't ask them in a public meeting. So I may give him a call, but as far as questions, David? David, you're muted. There you go.
Coming off mute. Yeah, I know that the code basically called for a cap of around 5% in most jurisdictions. I'm just curious, you know, based on the permit application numbers that you just submitted, you know, where do we kind of stand in terms of the number of grandfathered plus net new in the context of our total housing? Are we above or below the target thresholds?
Well, we're getting, there's certain areas that are clearly going to be over, like the Leavenworth area and perhaps the Chelan area. Quite to our surprise, the Manson area is well under, but again, that's just on the STRs that we've received. So there could be a lot more out there that we haven't received. We're currently reached out to OFM today to see if we could get updated numbers on current residential housing. And that's exactly what that new STR CD person will be doing, is cross-referencing the number of provisionally and permitted STRs to that cap. Again, currently we're kind of monitoring as we go. If we get applications, we anticipate April, May, Leavenworth is going to be shut off. We won't accept any more applications, but there'll be a waiting list because staff does the deep dive, they may find that some of these that were provisionally approved may drop out because they
completely understand. So just to recap, you think based on what the data that you're seeing now, there's an excess or we'll be above the cap in Leavenworth, but we'll be under the cap in most other areas. Is that accurate?
Yeah, Kashmir, Peshastin, Entiat are coming in quite low, way under the cap. So there'll be wiggle room in those areas, but the prime ones like Leavenworth and Chelan are showing that they're going to meet the cap relatively quickly.
That was my question, exactly. I think that's what we were all curious about, whether or not that was the biggest negotiation point. It's interesting where that's coming. If you could give us, you said May, right? If it continues on till May, then you'll know. But right now, you're continuing to go ahead and issue permits that you will not be able to come basically retract if you find out the numbers are above the housing numbers. Is that correct?
That's why they're getting provisionally approved.
Ah, good. Okay, I understand.
Provisionally approved until we can get that data. Cross-reference, analyze not only the cap, but also do the deeper dive to make sure they comply with their life safety, fire and life safety inspection, and all of the other, the other ancillary stuff. They meet the submittal criteria to become provisionally approved. We're issuing that so they can continue to operate during this vetting period.
Yeah, the ancillary stuff that you're talking about is just a base. That cap on a zip code basis was the one that was the floating number that I think we all had, whether we were above or below existing rate. So it would be curious to come back when you come back to us, maybe in a month or two, maybe 3 months, and tell us where that number is. Thank you, Chris.
You betcha.
So just for your information, I understand and I appreciate Chris being willing to step in and fill the void for a little bit. I'm understanding that not only Chelan County is going to be looking for a community development director, but also Douglas County. And wasn't there another neighboring county that was out of position?
I believe Kittitas was also.
Kittitas. So this may be an interesting recruitment period. I was also very disappointed to hear yesterday when I talked to Catherine that Friday is going to be her last day. Her husband has accepted a job out of state, and she's going to understandably follow him. And I didn't know, Catherine, I guess it's kind of a surprise if you want to say anything or just want to accept our thanks for stepping in and helping organize things and get things online. It's frustrating to have to do it again, but no, you have to do what you have to do.
Thank you so much for saying that, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just really wanted to express my appreciation to the Planning Commission. It was a pleasure to serve with you. And tonight will be my last meeting with you. And I wish you all the best.
Okay.
Thank you, Catherine, for all you've done. Thank you.
Any other comments from anyone?
Yes, I have my hand raised.
Oh, go ahead, Vic.
Yeah, say, Catherine, we sure appreciate the element of professionalism that you have brought to our Planning Commission by the way you address us and the thorough work that you've been doing in making your presentations to us. You've made it a lot more understandable and consistent than we had in the past. And really, you just don't realize how much you have really added to what we do. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
So anyone else want to bring something up? I'll allow just a couple minutes if we do, but we'll be finishing early, it looks like. Mm-hmm. I don't see anyone. So this meeting, thank you for attending, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.